Two Kizara armed with long kinjals guarded an arched doorway, but the priest stepped aside without a word to let the party pass. Inside the main chamber, three Fedaiken stood ready and alert. Female attendants in traditional Fremen garments bustled back and forth. Hera, who had once been nursemaid and companion to Aaliyah, stood like an attentive mother over the twins, as if they were hers. She looked up at Aaliyah and flashed a nod of recognition to Jessica. Jessica stepped forward to look down at Leto and Ganema, surprised by how the two children struck her with a sense of awe. They seemed so flawless, so young and helpless, barely a month old. She realized she was trembling a little. Jessica set aside all thoughts of the empire-shaking news she had received in the last few days. As if they were linked, both babies turned their faces toward her simultaneously, opened their wide-set blue eyes, and stared with an awareness that startled Jessica. Aaliyah had looked that alert when she was just a baby. "They are under close observation for their behavior and interactions," Aaliyah said. "More than anyone else, I understand the difficulties they might face." Hera was forceful. "We do our best to care for them, as Chaney and Usul would have wanted." Kneeling, Jessica reached out to stroke the small, delicate faces. The babies looked at her, then locked gazes with each other, and something indefinable passed between them. To the sisterhood, babies were just genetic products, links in a long chain of bloodlines. Among the Bene Gesserit, children were raised without any emotional connection to their mothers, often without any knowledge of their parentage. Jessica herself, a ward of the mother school on Wallach 9, had not been told that her father was the Baron Harkonnen, and her mother, Gaius Helen Mohiam. Though her own upbringing among the emotionally stifled Bene Gesserit had been less than ideal, her heart went out to her grandchildren as she contemplated the turbulent lives that undoubtedly lay ahead of them. Again, Jessica thought of poor Chaney. One life in exchange for two. She'd grown to respect the Fremen woman for her wisdom and her intense loyalty to Paul. How could he not have foreseen such a terrible blow as the loss of his beloved? Or had he known, but could do nothing about it? Such paralysis in the face of fate could have driven any man mad. "Would you like to hold them?" Hera asked. It had been a long time since she'd held a baby. "Later. I just want to look at them right now." Aaliyah remained caught up in her visions of ceremonies and spectacles. "It is a very busy time, Mother. We need to do much to give the people hope, now that Muad'Dib has gone. In addition to the two funerals, we will soon have a christening. Each such spectacle is designed to remind the people of how much they love us." "They are children, not tools of statecraft," Jessica said, but she knew better. The Bene Gesserit had taught her that every person had potential uses, as a tool or a weapon. "Oh, Mother, you used to be so much more pragmatic." Jessica stroked little Leto's face and drew a deep breath, but found no words to speak aloud. No doubt, political machinations were already occurring around these children. Sourly, she thought of what the Bene Gesserits had done to her and to so many others like her, including the particularly harsh treatment they had inflicted on Tessia, the wife of the cyborg Prince Romber Vernius. The Bene Gesserit always had their reasons, their justifications, their rationalizations. "I write what is true about Muad'Dib, or what should be true. Some critics accuse me of distorting the facts and writing shameless misinformation. But I write with the blood of fallen heroes, painted on the enduring stone of Muad'Dib's empire. Let these critics return in 1,000 years and look at history. Then see if they dismiss my work as mere propaganda. Princess Irulan, The Legacy of Muad'Dib, Draft Manuscript. The quality of a government can be measured by counting the number of its prison cells built to hold dissidents. Jessica recalled the political maxim she had been taught in the Bene Gesserit school. During her years of indoctrination, the sisters had filled her mind with many questionable beliefs, but that statement at least was true. On the day after her arrival in Arakeen, she tracked down where Princess Irulan was being held. During her search of the detention records, Jessica was astonished to discover just how much of her son's sprawling fortress was devoted to prison blocks, interrogation chambers, and death cells. The list of crimes that warranted the ultimate penalty had grown substantially over the last few years. Had Paul known about that? Had he approved? It was probably wise that Reverend Mother Mohiam had been killed without a drawn-out trial, which would have allowed the Bene Gesserit to disrupt the government. And Jessica did not doubt that the old Reverend Mother was truly guilty. But Irulan remained locked away, her fate undecided. Having reviewed the evidence herself, Jessica knew that Shaddam's daughter had been involved in the conspiracy, though her exact role was not clear. The princess languished in one of the death cells operated by the Kizaret, but so far, Aaliyah had refused to sign the death warrant. During her first month as regent, the girl had already caused enough of an uproar, offended many potential allies, provoked numerous possible enemies. There were larger issues to consider. Aaliyah was wise to delay her decision. Jessica had first met the Emperor's eldest daughter on Catane in the last months before giving birth to Paul. Since the downfall of Shaddam, Irulan had done much for, and some things against, Paul. But how much against him? Now, however, Jessica hoped she could stop the execution, for reasons both political and personal. She marched down to the prison levels without an escort, having memorized the route from charts. Standing before the metal door of Irulan's sealed cell, she scrutinized strange markings on the wall, mystical symbols modeled after the writings of the vanished Muad'Ru race. Paul's priesthood had apparently adopted the ancient runes for their own purposes. Outside Irulan's cell stood two fiercely loyal Kizara guards, implacable priests who had advanced through the religious power structure that had sprung up around Paul, a structure that Aaliyah intended to preserve or even expand. While these men would never defy the direct orders of the regent, they also viewed Jessica with dread and reverence, and she could use that. With squared shoulders, Jessica stepped up to them. "Stand aside. I wish to see my son's wife." She expected an argument, or at least resistance, but the priestly guards did not think to question her command. If she had asked them to fall upon their kris knives, she wondered, would they have done that too? With simultaneous bows, they unsealed the cell door and allowed her to enter.